Man, I don't know about y'all, but Brother Doug asked us this morning, when we had prayer, what we wanted out of service today. Went around, all of us up here in the circle, and I told him I wanted God's presence to be felt by everybody in here. And I don't know what y'all felt this morning or during these song services, but I felt God's presence. And I still want to feel God's presence. Throughout the rest of this evening and throughout the rest of the week, I want to feel God's presence and know that He is real to me and real in my life. It's kind of a, just thinking about it, the day I get to talk about Joshua chapter 10 is a day that we celebrate warriors. Our mothers are warriors. My mother was a great warrior, I will tell you. Give me just a second. You know, you start talking about your mom, and you think back on all the things that she did for the family. Man, how great my mom was. And one day I'll get to see her again. Now, praise God for that. Man, the woman went through the depression. She dealt with almost 50 years of marriage. However many years that was, I can't remember right now off the top of my head, of being a preacher's wife. When she passed away, we found a chicken fryer. Y'all know what that is, right? Uncut chicken in the bottom of a freezer. Of the deep freeze with the date of 1982 on it. And she passed away a long time after 1982. But we threw that away because I don't think it was worth anything. But that's the kind of warrior she was. I mean, she held on to things. She held on to memories. And when it came to, I don't know what she did with my brothers and sisters because, you know, I'm 18 years after the fact. But I know what she did with me. She fought for me. And everything. Man, I wouldn't have good grades in school because, like I was talking to you tonight, I didn't care. But I didn't have grades. She'd go talk to the teacher. Guess what I'd get to do? I get to do extra work to make up for my grades so I can get a higher grade. Isn't that a great mom? Put that extra work, school work on you? She fed me. She kept everything that I needed. In fact, when she passed away, I had one semester left to go in college. It was weird. I don't know if any of you ladies do this. But Mom had enough money in the coats that we in her closet, in her purse, for me to pay for cash for that. No wonder she kept a hold of her purse like she did. Because she had all that money in there that was cash. And I guess Dad gave her an allowance every week, and she was trying to keep a little bit of it for herself. But our mothers are warriors. And in Joshua chapter 10, that's where we find our God. He is a warrior. Completely. He is a loving God, but He is a warrior. He fights for you. I need you to understand that tonight. If you get nothing else from me, God fights for you. If He didn't, He would have never sent His Son. He would have never sent Him to die on the cross and have a cruel death that He did to take the punishment that I should have, that I deserve. As a warrior, you fight battles and you win battles in any possible way you can. And God knew that that was the only way to get us back in relationship with Him was to send His Son. That was not the last resort. That was the resort. That's what God had planned to do and that's what He fulfilled in doing. And I love that about my God, that He is a warrior to take care of me. You know, we've gone through Joshua these past couple of weeks. And, you know, in verse 7 of chapter 1, He said, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous because there's nobody that's going to stand up against you and defeat you because I've given you this. And I love that about God. He tells me to be strong and be courageous. You know, throughout the Israelites' process of taking the land, they had some setbacks. They had some failures. And you realize I said they had that. It wasn't God. God's plan is sovereign. And any time that you look and you say, well, God's failed me, no. It's probably because you didn't do your part. You probably didn't do what He asked you to do. Same thing with the nation of Israel. And when we carry out His plans, although how great battle plans they are, marching around the city 7 times, God gives the victory. When we do what God says, He can defeat a small, we can defeat small battles. All right? So let's look at Joshua chapter 10 tonight. If you'll stand, once you get there, Joshua chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 5 and read through verse 15. So the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together and went up. They were with all their armies and camped by Gibeon and fought against it. Then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that live in the hill country have assembled against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly, marching all night from Gilgal. And the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and pursued them by the way of the sin of Bethhoron, and struck them as far as Azekah and Makeda. And as they fled from before Israel, while they were with the descent of Bethhoron, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them, as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died by the hailstones than there were whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel, and in the sight of Israel. "O sun, stand still at Gibeon. O moon, in the valley of Ahon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jeshar that the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day? There was no day like that before it, after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua and all the Israel with him returned to the camp, to Gilgal. Brother Wade, would you lead us in prayer tonight? You may be seated. Now, I told you in Joshua chapter 10, the whole theme of Joshua chapter 10 is the Lord is a warrior. While Joshua was a leader on the ground, his prayer to God indicates who stands behind the victory. Chapter 10 repeatedly speaks of God's action on behalf of his people. And I want to go through a few things about how God fought for Israel. How he fought for Israel. In verse 8 it says, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands." But if there's nothing else, that's enough, right? God said, "Don't fear them. They're yours. The battle's over. I've won. Go fight." God gave the soldiers enough stamina to travel about 25 miles throughout the night. Now, you take all of the army and you take off running to get over there to fight the Amorites at Gibeon. At Gilgal. 25 miles. How many of y'all can take thousands of men and book it and get 25 miles just at night? And then be ready to fight when you get there. Anybody here willing to do that? Any of you old military buffs, you ready to go right now to do that? Any teenagers ready to go 25 miles and be ready to fight in the morning? No. God gave them that strength to leave and go. See, God was in this from the beginning. He said go, and when he says go, guess what he does? He gives you everything you need. He gives you strength. He gives you what you need to fight. And when he gives you that strength, it's incredible strength. Incredible strength. You know, you've seen these things about where people would pick cars up off people just in a huff when it's an emergency. I've never been able to do that, but I've heard stories of stuff like that happen. That's incredible strength to me, but that's God's strength is above and beyond that. God is still doing that in the lives of believers all over the world. Do you believe that? That he's still giving strength to believers? If you don't believe that, you need to be looking for God for strength. Because every day I pray for God to give me strength. And I'm not talking about where I need to go run through a wall. It may be I need to have a conversation with somebody. And I need strength just to have that conversation. God gives strength to believers all over the world right now. We face situations and we're buoyed. We have God around us. We have Him surrounding us by that strength that seems to come from nowhere at times that we don't even realize that we need it. And I praise God for that. That He knows when I need strength that I don't ask for. And He gives it to me. In verse 10, He continues, "The Lord threw the army into panic before Israel." See, God already looked at all of these five kingdoms and said, "Well, guess what? Y'all may have a great battle plan, but now you don't anymore." They didn't know what they were doing. They were in panic. They were in a bunch of confusion. They were running around. God made it where they were unable to fight back. God confounded, God slew them, and God pursued them. Those three things He did to fight for Israel. God often works in circumstances to create opportunities for us. Man, are you looking for those opportunities God creates for you? Are you worried about not having the strength to do it? Even if He did, God gives you that strength. Verse 11, God also threw hailstones. Okay? God also threw hailstones. Let's go back and read verse 11. "As they fled from Israel while they were in descent, while they were running down a hill, God threw hailstones at them." How many of y'all ever been hit by a hailstone? I try to stay out of hailstorms, don't you? Especially the large ones that we've had around here. When I was a kid in DeWitt, we had this bright thing that, I don't know how bright it was. It's kind of stupid. But Mom and Dad would sit on the front porch and watch Kelly get hurt, is what would happen. They said, "He's dumb enough, he's going to learn." Do y'all remember those little three-wheelers? The little plastic three-wheelers that were on the ground that you had to pedal and you pull up the handle and slide? The seats came off of those. Me and the neighbor, we lived in a church parsonage, in a church parking lot. He was on this end, and I was on this end. We decided we were going to throw rocks at one another, and I had this to block my rocks that he threw. I missed. It hit me in the head. That's the last time I wanted to be hit in the head by a hailstone, a rock, or anything else. It hurts. And God used hailstones to kill the enemies. There was more that died from those hailstones than the nation of Israel killed. You realize that? Scripture tells us that. That God killed more than the nation of Israel did. He fought over an abundance for the nation. God heard the prayer of Joshua. This was already a long day. You want to know how to make a day longer and more unique? Pray for God to make it longer. That's crazy, isn't it? This has been a hard day for the nation of Israel. They just ran 25 miles or so to fight. And then they fought all day. And Joshua goes, "Hey God, can you stop everything so we can have a longer day?" Man. Joshua spoke in verse 12. "Spoke to the Lord in the day of the Lord, delivered up in the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'O sun, stand still at Gibeon. O moon in the valley of Azon.' And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies." In verse 14, it says, "There was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel." God will go to any extreme, any circumstance, to fight for His people and fight for His children. The Lord is a warrior who defeated the armies of the five kings. It wasn't Joshua. It was God. God defeated them. And that's how God fought for the nation. And I'm going to tell you how the enemies fought against God. This is what they did. They decided that five was better than one. They decided a group of minds was better than what God said was going to happen. They fought for themselves. They ran, and they were defeated. That's it. That's what they did. That's how they fought against God. See, God took a lot more extremes. He took their ability to fight out. He defeated them. He put them in a place where the nation of Israel could win the battle. So I'm going to give you a couple of points tonight. Victory is directly a result of God's actions. Our victory in life is a direct result of His actions, not mine. I can come up with the greatest plan that's foolproof. And if God says, this is not the way I want it to go, I'm going to fail every time. My victories are a direct result of His actions. You may think that you are the leader in battles, but guess what? If you're the leader in your battles, you're going to lose. God should be the leader of our lives. And without God, we suffer great defeat. I've seen it so many times in my life where I've done what God told me, not done what God told me to do, and I've lost. Now, I'm supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, right? I'm supposed to walk by what God can do for me, not what I see that can happen. Every one of us here at the church that's on staff, we're walking by faith with God. Completely. You don't get in ministry without having faith in God. You really don't. You've got to have faith in God. So walk by faith and not by your own sight. Don't be the leader in your battles. Point number two. He is the victor and should be honored accordingly. God is the victor and He should be honored accordingly. If you look at the whole Bible, if you look and see how everything goes, we get to the book of Revelation to see who God actually is. He is not simply a God that's mild-mannered and lamb-like, although we like to see Him that way, right? We like to see God as the lamb, but He's a warrior. He's the lion. He is ferocious in His justice. And there is a day that's coming where there will be justice. It will be laid out. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. There's 14 verses here, and I want to read them to you. But I want you to grasp these verses tonight. And I saw on the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood as a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came back and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat at the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as is in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. God's a warrior and He should be worshiped as such. We should not be afraid to worship Him as our divine warrior and cry out to Him in times of help and protection. And at the same time, we should be warned that refusal to repent invites His anger, and that should produce fear in our hearts. He was, He is, and He always will be the one and only that is worthy to be called Victor and King. And tonight, if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, let me read Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 13 to you. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end." You see, God has always been, He always will be, and nothing can change that. And nothing can change the fact that He will fight for you as His son and daughter. I love that about my God. That because I'm His, He will fight for me. When I turn my back on Him, He doesn't turn His back on me. He fights for me to bring me back. He doesn't give up. God took every imaginable way of defeating the nations that fought against Him and took the land that He had promised His people. And tonight, He wants to reside in your heart. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, He wants to live inside you. If you do know Him as your personal Savior and you've wandered, you've chased other things, you haven't chased His protection, you haven't chased what He wants you to do, He's fighting for you to come back. He's fighting for you to tell Him, "Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me. I want to serve You once again." Tonight, if you find yourself in either one of those places, as Brother Dale comes and we sing, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads right now. If you find yourself and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you need somebody to fight for you, somebody to love you with everything that they have, this is your opportunity to ask Him to come into your life. To ask Him to forgive you of your sins. For you to repent of those sins, accept His blood sacrifice and what He has done for you, and ask Him to be the Lord of your life.